the book of Psalms, chapter number 37. We're going to begin I don't know really how many parts it'll be, but this psalm has been a working in my heart, and we're going to be dealing with it, Lord willing, and hopefully God will use it to encourage our hearts. I was studying on this in my devotions, and was thinking about just kind of doing a little series in the bulletin, just taking little things and just put a little bulletin blessing in there, you know. And well, the more I went with it, the bulletin couldn't handle it. So I thought, well, maybe it's just for me, and it just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger in my heart. And we're just going to launch out this morning and see where it goes, and it may be two or three parts to it. I don't know, but we'll just try to mind the Lord and what He would have. If you'd like to stand with me in reverence to the King James Authorized Bible, the Word of God for English-speaking people, and amen, and also to rest yourselves from your seat. Great to have our visitors. Brother Silas has already mentioned that. And just honored to have you this morning. I could go around and name some names and point out some folk. But great to have all of our visitors today. And I trust that you have already, I hope your arms are hurting. You say, well, from what? People shaking your hand. You know, I mean, just, man, when you get in the car, it's like, man, that crowd shook my arm off. I'm about to go home and put, what is it you put on it? Icy Hot or something. But we want you to know that you're a friendly church. We want you to know above that you're in a fundamental church. Right. We want you to know that you're in a fired up church about the truth and about what's real, not emotionalism. I know you hear the amens and the hands go up and you see that, and I get excited, and I do not apologize for that. I'm telling you, I do not apologize for that. When I used to go watch Blake when he first playing t-ball and stuff, I'd lead their horse. Amen. He'd hit the ball and it barely would make it to the pitcher, and I would scream and holler and run. I mean, pace, run up, and you know, they had a fence. I always wondered what they had the fence there for. I don't think it was to keep the t-ball players from hitting the fans. I believe it was to keep the parents off the field. And of course, I saw parents rant and rave and cuss and carry on, but I was climbing the fence, literally, run up and down the fence, especially if he hit one, you know, looked like he was going to make it, you know. I'd run, I was just hollering and screaming, and I'd get back in the stands and all them around me, they'd say, do you preach like that? I don't apologize for being excited. Amen. One of the worst insults for me would be somebody say, Preacher Rackley's dead. Right. Spiritually dead. Right. Dry, dull. I don't ever want that. Amen. I want to be fired up about the truth. Right. Anyway, I better get on with it. Psalms 37, we'll just read. I want to encourage you to even today sometime to read the whole chapter. There's 40 verses. I'm not going to read all of those today. But I want to read the first few verses. And we'll have something there to start the message with anyway. Verse number one, fret not thyself because of the evil doers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Now I want to make a comment here about the whole chapter. God is talking about the wicked, the evildoers, the wicked, but He's talking to the righteous. Well, that's a great point the Lord showed me this morning. He's talking to the righteous, but He's only talking about the wicked. I'm glad we have God that would speak to us about the problems of life and things that we deal with in life. So He's talking to the righteous about the workers of iniquity or evildoers. Verse number two, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord. Miss Arlene gave a good exhortation on that. Trust in the Lord. I can't wait to get on that. Amen. We're subject to blow a gasket. And when we get on that, if the Lord will help us today, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. That's the verse my wife claimed to land me. So if you don't think that works, there's nothing to that verse. Just ask my wife. Amen. I will read it again just for that. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee a wonderful husband. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Just a little comical insert right there. Forgive me for being, make you laugh a little bit. But I remember a few years ago, I was in a big way of preaching here. Some of you probably remember it. I mean, just dawdled down in the aisle, just bit getting with it. And I was talking about Alicia, my wife. I was talking about her when she caught the big fish. When she caught me, she caught the big fish. And I thought, you know, I was doing pretty good, you know, on that illustration. And somebody spoke up from the back and said, yeah, but she was fishing in the Minner Pond. Yeah, caught the biggest Minner. But anyway, how'd I get on that? Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For the evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in abundance of peace. Thank God for that. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out, I'm looking for a place to break off here. The wicked have drawn out the sword, and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be of the upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better. You won't read that in the USA Today. You won't read that. You won't hear that on the CNN, ABC, and CBS. You won't get that from this world's perspective. That little, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Some of you are down in the dumps this morning because of the little that you have. Some of you, you're looking how little you are, and what little you have, and what little you've done, and what little you've seen. But let me just read it again. I'm feeling a strong witness on that. Hey, a little that a righteous man hath is better. God said that. He must know something. He must know something. If he says little is better than the riches of many wicked. Oh, help me. I don't know if we'll ever get through this psalm or not. Woo! I'm going to stop reading there. I'm going to have to. Because I'm going to be preaching the latter end instead of the former end. Amen. Let's pray. Father, help us today, I pray. Thank you for the good liberty in the song service. Good liberty to exhort the people of God. Good liberty to feel the presence of the Lord. I want to thank you for gracing us today, Lord, with your presence. Lord, this church could do without me. But dear God, we can't do without you. Please help us today, dear Lord, to have our focus on you. May the service today, the service tonight, may today in general just be a great reviving, a great time of restoring, a day, Lord, where our hearts have been, Lord, ministered to by the Spirit of God. Lord, those among us today that doesn't know you, Lord, is their personal Savior. Oh, they may be good and moral and upright and decent and even better than most, but none of that will get them in heaven. Please, dear Lord, I pray, deal with them, draw them, speak to them. Help me to preach like I will wish I had when I face you one day. Please, dear Lord, have your way this morning. Be exalted, defeat the powers of hell, deliver sinners, and help your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I feel like I'm going to blow a gasket this morning. That'll be all right. Amen. Amen. Boy, isn't it good to be in church when the Lord's at home. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Well, let's deal with this psalm just a minute. In this psalm, I believe that we can find by verse number, and we're going to be using this psalm. We're going to be wiring it out, all right? Lord willing, if you'll help me. Look in verse 25, if you could, just for a second. This sets the stage and lets us know. Of course, the title of the psalm shows us it's a psalm of David. David wrote this psalm and no doubt experienced what he wrote and wrote what he experienced and wrote what God had given to him. But we find that in verse 25 where David said, I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. I believe this verse shows us that this psalm was written in the latter days of David when he was old. Looking back over his life and he said, I have been young and now I'm old. Amen. Oh, young people, it'd be good for you to listen when somebody that's already walked the path, already walked the trail, somebody that's already went through that, already been long in this journey, when they tell you something, it'd be good to listen, especially if it's backed by the Word of God and experience. So we find that David, no doubt, is the author and that David wrote this in his latter years. This psalm, no doubt, it's hard to, and I looked through it and I've read it. I don't know how many times I've read it, but it's really hard to break this psalm up into an outline. It's hard to look at it and see, okay, now these verses go in that section and these verses emphasize this thought. It's almost like one of the chapters in the book of Proverbs. You know, it's an individual. Each verse is just an individual stick of dynamite. Each verse is just an individual thought and a complete thought. And so we're just going to do a swan dive into verse number one. Hope we go deep and can hold our breath long enough to come up on the other end, hopefully. Amen. But this psalm describes the different states of good or righteous and that of bad men, bad people. And you know, really, I was thinking about this yesterday. We are cohabitating together in this world. We the righteous, we that are saved, it does matter if we're moral. It does matter if we don't lie. It does matter if people have a good confidence in us. And I was wondering this morning, I wonder how many of us in this service today that lost people that knows us, I wonder how many's got confidence in. You'll find all down through these verses, God was talking to the good or to the righteous, and then he would flip and talk about the wicked. And then the wicked is doing this to the righteous. And righteous, I want to give you a word. Here's how you can stand it. Here's how you can make it. And I just wonder how many people that are wicked have really confidence, any confidence in you. I'm getting ahead of myself right here, but I'm just going to wallow around in this and in this chapter. Look at verse 32 on that thought. The wicked watcheth the righteous. Oh, yes. I wonder what they're seeing. Hello? I wonder if there's, when they, I wonder, God help me not to get hung up right here. I wonder if when the wicked watch the righteous, I wonder if they're seeing a mirror of themselves. One of the worst things I believe the devil can talk a person into is for you to so lower your standards, so live on a low level to where you are just like them. That is the devil's success. Amen. And how many in church are like that? How many professing, and I use that loosely, how many professing believers, you can't distinguish a difference between them and the wicked. But the Bible said the wicked are watching the righteous, and I wonder, do they see anything, and do they have confidence in you? Amen. Well, I don't want to get hung up there, but that's what's going on in this psalm. It's back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. They're the wicked, the righteous. The righteous, the wicked. The wicked, the righteous. The wicked, the righteous. But above both of them is a sovereign God that's overseeing and overshadowing the whole situation. And buddy, I'm telling you, that is good. Now, you listen. Some of you listen to me. And you hear me talk about the politicians and the condition of America and the corruption of America, and anybody that's got any red, white, and blue in you, amen, any patriotism whatsoever, you ought to be vexed about the condition of our country. I mean, it just burns me up. And you know what? They hadn't called me one time and asked if it's all right. I mean, I'm a U.S. citizen, literally, legally, rightfully. Can you believe that? Hey. And I pay taxes. But guess what? They don't call and ask me if it's all right for them to do what they're doing. They didn't ask permission. They didn't even give me a chance to vote. I thought it was I thought this country was by the people and for the people and of the people and all that. We're just subjects. But anyway, I don't want to get on that. My blood pressures are going up. But some of you, if you listen to me preach, and I've told you, you know, I get aggravated at that. I get vexed is a good Bible word. I get vexed over it. And if I'm not careful, it'll get me in a wrong spirit.
That's right.
Why does he start out verse 1? Fret not thyself because of the evildoer. He's talking right off the bat. He's talking to saved people. Now, don't let evildoers have this influence on you. Don't let them cause you to get in this shape. And so what he's doing down through here, and I know you picked it out as I read some of them. I didn't read all of them because they're scattered throughout the chapter. But you find where God is dropping little handfuls on purpose to his people and say, now here's how you deal with wicked people. Here's how you deal with wicked people instead of wicked people dealing with you. And by the way, listen at this. Look at verse number 1. You know what's talked about in verse number 1? People. He didn't deal with alcohol in verse 1. He didn't deal with drugs in verse 1. He didn't deal with murder in verse 1. He didn't deal with nothing. You know what he dealt with? Evildoers. He dealt with people. You know what I believe he's showing there? I meditated on that. I believe he's saying that all sin is connected to people. Amen. There's no tree out there that's a sin tree. They're not just growing sin and dropping sin and it's reproducing. No, sin's coming through somebody's life. Our country and our world and churches are in the shape they're in, Brother Silas, because of people and sin. Churches that are dead and dry and declining and dull, guess what? That's not because a direct connection to the devil. The devil just didn't come right in here and put his hands on it and cause it. No, he works through people. God's dealing with people. He's dealing with people in this passage of Scripture. Amen. And I get to focus, and y'all pray for me. I get to focusing on wickedness, not with envy. And I don't want to deal with that yet because that's the second one. The first one is fret not thyself because of evildoers. I don't want to get to that level. I don't want them to have that influence on me. I don't want wicked people to control me. I don't want wicked people to corrupt me. I don't want wicked people to contain me. I don't want to act the way I act and say what I say and do what I do because of wicked people. No, no. And that's what's happening in this chapter. Amen. Right. It's really how to live a victorious life in a wicked world. How to live a victorious life in a wicked world. Yes, amen, there's wicked people. Those listed in verse number 1, in fact, down through this passage, I got them all marked. The word wicked or an equivalent to that is used 20 times in this chapter. That's real people. That's living that lifestyle. You can't get around that. You can't do away with that. You can't do away with that. It's real. It's real people. Buddy, dealing with difficult people. How to deal with difficult people. How to live in a world that's permeated and prevailed in by wicked people. But I want to tell you, friend, hallelujah, I'm about to have a good time this morning. I'm telling you, you and I, even though we're living in a world of prevalent wickedness, we can live a victorious life. We don't have to get caught up in their wickedness. We don't have to be corrupted by their wickedness. We don't have to be controlled by their wickedness. Thank God. Noah shows us you can live for God when the whole world is corrupt. Amen. Nobody on planet Earth was living for God except Noah, his wife, his three sons, his three daughter-in-laws. That was it. Everybody else on planet Earth was wicked. Amen. But you know what most churches have got as a mentality? They wouldn't tell it, but that's what it is. If you can't beat them, join them. The old-fashioned way is out of date. Preaching the Word of God. Most churches have done away with their pulpits. Most preachers, when they get up to preach, come on now. We're going to run a bunch of rabbits probably, but that's all right. Most preachers today, ladies and gentlemen, you can't even tell they're a preacher. Amen. There's nothing wrong with treating that office and that position of preaching with dignity and reverence and respect. Amen. Are y'all listening? Getting a pulpit, they got their shirt unbuttoned, plumbed down on their chest. Amen. Look like they've you don't know if they're going to go hiking or whatever. What's wrong with wearing a tie? I'm talking about preaching now. What's wrong? I mean, I know that you ain't going to hell if you don't wear a tie. God help us. I know that. But I want to tell you one thing. Hey, man, if those in high position of Senate and Congressmen and our president, or your president rather, hey, man, they wear nice. Why? Because of the office they're in. There ain't nothing wrong with it, amen. There ain't nothing wrong with it. Ain't nobody going to embarrass me because, you still wear a tie. You still wear a suit when you preach. Yes, and I'll continue to do it. Amen. Well, glory to God, amen. But anyway, what's going on in this chapter, amen? God is saying to us, don't focus on the wicked. Don't focus on it. Recognize it, know they're there, keep your boundaries, stay right with God, but don't focus on the wicked. Boy, isn't that easy to do. Come on, help me now. Isn't that so easy to do? I tell you, I can't watch the news much. I can't watch the news much. I'll just be honest with you. The more I know what's going on in this country, the worse I get. Spiritually. But I need to be reminded, Miss Morgan, that this world is not my home. Sure, we're supposed to pray for our country, and yes, we're to vote and all that goes with it, and stand our ground and never change, be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego with everybody else who's bowing to the wicked idols of this world. Stand strong and stand tall and stand firm for the Lord Jesus Christ. But always remember, say, person, you're leaving here. Take that, devil, amen. Take that, devil, amen. Hey, oh, hey, man, I want to tell him, Miss Arlene, hey, big boy, you better growl while you can. You better scratch while you can. You better kick while you can, because you're going to look around one of these days and there's going to be a lot of empty houses and empty spots and empty churches. Amen, because the believers are leaving here. Thank God. This world is not my home. I need to look in the mirror and say that. Remind myself, this world is getting more corrupt. God says that's the... Amen, listen. Don't think that it's going to turn into a utopia and a paradise. Don't think that you're going to win the world and turn it around. I'm telling you, this world is bent toward the judgment of God. Noah couldn't turn it. Preached 120 years, but he couldn't turn it. You know what? He wasn't trying to turn it. He was just trying to get people saved, because he knew he was leaving. His boat was pulling out one day. Hey, hey. Oh, yes. Well, hallelujah now. Amen, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let me just start dealing with it. I don't know what else to do, but just get in with it. Amen. He drops these little old seeds of hope and little seeds of help all through this chapter. That's words to the righteous to help us in a wicked world full of wicked people, how to live a righteous, godly, holy life, an honorable life. And the first one he deals with, and I'm not going to deal with them, I won't be up. Don't think preacher's going to get done today. I might if the Lord cut the spout completely off. But I don't believe he's going to do that, because I believe this is what the Lord wants us to have. The first thing is found in verse 1. Fret not. They're easy to know. They're easy to identify. You can go through there and very easily. They're just little seeds of commands. There's little things saying here, hey, don't, instead of focusing on the wicked, here, do this. And by the way, all these things down through here that he says for us to do, that's it. He says for us to do it. Fret not, is it not seen in verse 1? Fret not thyself.
Right.
Right. Amen. Can I give you something you've heard before? Nah. Yes. Your spirituality is your responsibility.
Yes.
You're in the shape you are in spiritually, not because of wicked people. I just hate to tell you that. I hate to take your excuse away. You're in the shape you're in because of a lack of spiritual responsibility yourself. Fret not thyself because of the evildoers. Look in verse number 1. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. These are maybe the only two we'll get today. Now, I want to give them to you, my soul. Fret not. The word fret not, what do you think it meant? When I first read that, Brother Fultz, before I studied it out, I thought the equivalent of fret not is fear not. Has nothing to do with it. The word fret in this verse, and I'm going to give you the definition right out of the Strong's Concordance, the Hebrew and Greek dictionary, and that don't mean I'm smart, that everybody's got access to that. The word fret not means to glow hot. Glow, G-L-O-W. Glow hot or to grow warm. It means to blaze up. It means to be angry. It means to burn with displeasure. It means to be grieved, vexed. Fret not. Don't be vexed. Don't be grieved. Don't get mad. Don't get angry. Don't get hot in anger. Oh, isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing, church? Dealing in a relationship situation through here between the righteous and the wicked, he's telling us right off the bat, watch your anger. Don't listen. Come on, Brother Trav. Don't let the wicked vex you. Now, wait a minute. Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah, the Bible said he was vexed. It vexed his righteous soul. I want to ask you something. He's not telling us here that we're not supposed to be vexed with wickedness. Hey man, the Bible said, ye that love the Lord hate evil. That's what the scripture said.
Right.
You said, preacher, you mean we're supposed to hate sin? Exactly.
Right.
Amen. I listen to people and read Brother Silas, and I wonder sometimes that crowd that don't ever say nothing negative about nothing. I get sick. I can't even read it. I can't even look at it. They take up for it. They don't, you know. I bet they don't even pull the weeds out of their garden. I bet you, listen, they have such a lack of discernment of what's right and wrong and good and bad and ugly and pretty and all that. I bet they probably fertilize their weeds. But he says in this verse, the first thing in a chapter dealing with a relationship in a world that is cohabitating with you, and they're called wicked people, evil doers. He said the first thing is don't let them vex you. Be vexed over sin, but don't let the evil doers vex you. Listen to this. Boy, this is big. Look down. I'm just going to give you this. Three times in this chapter, he says, fret not.
Right.
Verse number one, fret not thyself because of the evildoers. Verse number seven, rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way because of the man that bringeth wicked devices to pass. Verse 8, the third time it's used. Cease from anger, forsake wrath, listen, fret not thyself in any wise, to do evil.
Right.
Let me give you a nugget. I just got it this morning. Oh, mercy. Who's he writing to right there when he says in verse number 8, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil? Talking to the believers, right? Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. I thought, now I wonder what that means. Brother Brad looked it up and found out that same identical word for do evil in verse 8 is the same word in verse 1 of evil doers. Same thing. Evildoers in verse 1, Brother Silas, he's talking about them. Those that are wicked, those that are lost. Evildoers. Verse number 8, he says, he's talking to us. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Same word. You know what he's saying there, Brother Ivan? Don't allow them to cause you to act like them. That's what's in the word vex. That's in the word greed. That's in the word anger. Don't let wicked people, come on, and you that work on the public job, amen, you young people that go to school, you're around them that are not saved. Guess what? If you're not careful, and I see it. Hello? I'm not blind. I got glasses. Amen. I ought to put them on. I can't even see y'all. Those are readers. But I see it. You hang around wicked people and you start doing as they're doing. You start acting like they're acting. You start adopting and adapting their attitude. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever noticed that when people start hanging around wicked people and running with wicked people, all of a sudden they get, come on young people, you get sassy. You become disrespectful to your parents. You think nothing of disobedience.
Right.
Amen. Nod your head like that right there. Amen.
Right.
Amen. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. If you're not careful, you'll let your vexation, you will let the wickedness of evildoers influence you to where next thing you know, you're going to do evil. Why did he tell us, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil? Because God knows that if you're controlled by fretting, by vexing, by being grieved, by being angry, that you will do what they're doing. You will act the way they're doing. Amen. I was preaching in a church, and I'll not tell you where, but I was preaching in a church. And I don't know why, but the Lord just made it real to me, and I got to talking about how that throwing things and throwing plates and pitching hisses at the house and all that's not spiritual. And I went on that, and I'm thinking the whole time I'm preaching that, I'm thought, why am I telling this? And I went on and preached the message, you know, and finished and turned it over to the preacher. And I was drenched with sweat, and I went and changed clothes, tried to put on some dry clothes, keep from getting sick. Well, I come back in. I wasn't gone 10 minutes, maybe 15 at the most, figuring the service would be dismissed, maybe a few folks fellowshipping. They were still in the service. I just slipped in on the back row, and for an hour and a half, I've never heard, Brother Gerald, never heard such confessions in my life. And I don't believe we'll ever have revival till people confesses and gets right with God. I'm not talking about hanging your dirty laundry out and telling everybody details about your wickedness and stuff. I'm talking about just getting right. And I just happened to get in the service, back in the service, amen, and I heard a man stand up and had a whole row of kids. And evidently, I think they're all his, big family. And he stood up and looked at all them and said, I need to ask you to forgive me. I need to ask you to forgive me, and I'm sorry. And he starts telling what he'd been throwing and throwing at the house, been throwing plates and pitching hisses and all that. You think those kids had any confidence in him? Absolutely not. They're probably sitting there, I hope to God what he's saying is true. Don't let the wickedness cause you to fret to the point of doing evil. How many people's got out of church because of the wickedness of other people? Why am I not going to church? Why? So and so. What's that got to do with the price of eggs in China? Amen? Nothing. It don't have a thing to do with you getting out of church. You're not going to stand before God. Come here, Brother Silas. You're not going to stand before God like this right here. Yes, God, okay. Read my record. Yeah, it was his fault. Yeah, that one too. That was his fault. Yeah, it was his fault. Won't be none of that. No, I'll tell you how I'm going to be standing. Go ahead, Brother C. I'll be standing there just like this. Alone, face to face with the judge that knows perfectly in detail of our life. Right. You're not going to be able to blame, point fingers and say him and her and those and them. And God, you know, I've tried to live for you and this world's full of wickedness. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Well, I got to get off that. Listen to this. So there's the first one. Number two, he says in verse number one, and look, it's connected. You see that? It's connected. Neither be thou envious. So we have two of those seeds right there, two seeds of hope, those things that's given straight to us. First, fret not. Don't be grieved. Don't be full of displeasure to the point that it affects you and drains you and defeats you. Well, how many people, Brother John, appreciate you and your wife being with us from up in Ohio. How many people live defeated lives because of other people? Amen. God help us. I did say us. God help us, Miss Arlene, to be able to stand on our own two feet and live for God and walk with God and obey God and honor God regardless of what other people are doing. No, I'm not, I don't want y'all to take me wrong now. I need you. I'm not one of these preachers that say, I don't need you. I need you. I need your fellowship. I need your prayers. I need your support. Amen. We need each other. That's so clearly seen in the Word of God. But I need to have, Brother Webb, a determination and a devotion and a dedication so that if, to the point that Mr. Jamath, I'd say it like this, respectfully, if every one of you quit, I am going on for God. Hurt? Would it hurt me? I look around this side and up this side. It would hurt me, devastate me. Listen, amen. It would hurt me to hear if you fail. I remember one time years ago I had a call come that a preacher friend of mine had failed in a sin. I'm not exaggerating. I wept all night long. That so hurt me. And I think of that when the devil whispers in my little ear and says, why don't you quit? I remember back, and that's been years ago. I was still in South Carolina. No, I was here. I remember where I was at when I got the call, where I was standing when I got the call that he'd fail. And I remember that, Brother Webb, every single time the devil says, why don't you quit? They don't care. Nobody cares anyway. Of course, you know, he'll get you convinced of that. Hey, man, he'll get you, Brother Craddy, he'll get you focusing on the negative. He'll get you focusing on the negative. And whispers. And then I get to thinking, and I do, Brother Mark, I think. I remember how I felt when I heard that that one quit. When I heard that that one fell into sin, I know how that hurt me and that devastated me. And I said, nope. Quitting is not an option.
Right.
We're not finished, Brother Silas, when we're defeated.
Right.
We're finished when we quit.
That's right.
God's people are not quitters.
Right.
God's people are overcomers.
Right.
You may be moving slow, but keep moving. Hey. Oh. Amen. We do get down at times. Come on, I'm feeling something right there. We do get down at times, and it's always our fault. Amen. There's times I lose my joy. There's times I lose my shout. There's times I get down. Yes, sir, I wish I could tell you never. No, never. Preacher Rackley's walked on cloud 10 ever since he's been saved. But I'd be lying, and I can't tell you that. There's been times that I've been so low that I'd have to reach up to touch a snake's belly. Are you listening? I've been so low before, my friend, if they buried me, they'd have to dig the grave up. Because I was that low. There's been times I've been so defeated. There's been times that I felt like I was 400 miles from God. The righteous man, you told it there this morning, the righteous man can fall seven times. But he'll rise again. Hallelujah. It's one thing for you to trip and fall. That's normal. That's natural. It's human.
Right.
But I'll tell you what's not normal. What is not natural is just go to the house of God. And sometimes, folks, I've been to church like this right here. I've come to church, felt like I was crawling. Come to church low, defeated. Get around God's people. Hearing the choir sing, hearing the young people testify, and all of a sudden, you know what? I find myself doing this. Hey. And then, hey. Yeah. Hey. I believe I'll go another mile for the Lord. Oh. How many times I've come to church thinking it's over. I'm done. Amen. This is a grave for me. And God would come to my grave opening as if he did Lazarus and said, get up.
Right.
I can't do nothing with you in the grave. I can't do nothing with you in the ground. Get out of that grave.
Yes,
get out of the grave clothes.
Right. Amen.
I'm not here today after 34 years of being saved and preaching the gospel because I have some special endurance. Oh, I'll tell you why, Brother Mark. You know why? That I'm still here today? It's not because I never done this. It's because I keep doing this. Oh. Some of you, you're here. You're fretting because of evildoers. You're envious because of evildoers. Hey, get up! You're not going to win nobody to God on your knees like that. Get up! Hallelujah! Amen! Hallelujah! But you know, this is it right here, buddy. We're on it now. Fish is biting now. You know what we want people to do, Brother Blake? Come here, man. Come right here. Be the one that's... You fail. You know what we want people to do? Yeah, Preacher Ackley. Yeah, just pet me. Yeah, we understand. I don't blame you. I'd quit too. Yeah, we're praying for you. Had a few select Baptists leave and do this, amen. Yeah. They'll ride you to the graveyard, son. Or they're even so spiritual, they'll say, yeah, I knew it was going to fall. I knew it was going to collapse. I've been expecting it. Yeah. You ought to get up. Stomp you and kick on you. I tell you what we need to do. I tell you what the Holy Ghost will do. Amen. I tell you what the Holy Spirit will do, buddy. He'll come along and he knows. He don't deny the shape you're in. He don't deny the condition you're in. I'll tell you what he starts doing. Amen. Get up. Get up. Get up. Hallelujah. Amen! Hallelujah! Get up! Glory! Hallelujah! And I'll tell you what I've had, Miss Arlene. I've had some of the people of God have the spiritual discernment and come by. Maybe they did. Maybe I wasn't here, Brother Chris. Maybe I wasn't in there. I wasn't here. I wasn't projecting that image. But inwardly I was there. And I've had people. Some sitting even here. You didn't go off the fact that you was looking at me standing. Oh yeah, Preacher Rack, ain't nothing wrong with him. He's got a big S on his chest. He leaps over buildings. No, but you were in tune with the Holy Ghost. And you speak words of comfort. You send me a verse. Preacher, get up. They didn't say that in those words, Brother Brad, but that's what they were saying. Get up, preacher! Yes, sir. Oh, mercy. You know what I want to do, Brother John? I want to go from pew to pew and say, get up! Get up! Get up! Quit wallowing in your condition. Don't deny it. Don't deny it. Don't say, well, it ain't happening to me. Him that thinketh he stand, take heed, lest he what? Fall. You're probably next. You're probably next. Well, it won't happen to me. You better tag that by the grace of God. Thank you, brother. Quit putting a band-aid on it. Get up! Hallelujah! Oh. Wickedness everywhere, wicked people, evildoers everywhere. Fret not thyself. Neither be envious. Let me deal with this one. Oh, hey, I'm gonna tell you, friend. All that last few minutes, buddy, was piped straight out of the glory world, buddy. You come in here dragging, and you think nobody notices. Oh, yeah. You think nobody knows. Miss Morgan, you think nobody cares. I want to tell you, there's a God in heaven that knows all about you. He knows if you're on the road to Emmaus and you're sad and you're down in the dumps and you're retreating from the will of God. He knows that. And what did he do in Luke 24? He joined himself to those two on the road to Emmaus. And he says, hey, why are you sad? Get up. Get up. You come to church this morning, you may feel as though you being down is excused. You may feel like, well, preacher, it's understandable that I'm dragging. Get up! Shake it off and get up. I know that you've heard this, but it's fitting, and now it just comes to my mind heart. You heard about that mule that fell in the well? Y'all have heard me tell that. That old mule fell in the well. Deep. It looked like, well, nothing we can do now but bury him. We can't get him out. So they started grabbing shovels and they said, well, just bury the old goat, amen. We'll just bury the old mule. Just throwing dirt on him down in that well. Well, we're just going to bury him. Boy, he was a good mule. He plowed good. He's a good servant. His days aren't over. We can't get it. He's in a situation he can't get out of. We're just going to bury him. We're just going to bury him. And they didn't know what was going on down in the well. But every time that dirt hit that mule, he'd go. Every time they'd throw a shovel full of dirt on him, he'd shake it off and step up. What they was meaning to bury him with, he was using it as a stepping stone to climb higher, and eventually it got to the place to where he stepped out. Thank God. I want to tell you, the devil means for your valley to be a grave. The devil means for you to go under. The devil means for you to go out of business. I tell you what you need to do. Shake it off and step up and then step out. Hallelujah. Whew. Feel like I'm shaking it off this morning. Oh. I don't tell everything. I'm telling you this morning for probably three to 6 months. Son, I'm telling you the powers of hell has been on my case. Being honest with you, I'm being transparent. I mean, the powers of hell. And the powers of hell never want you to go on. They want you to quit. But I tell you what, Miss Arlene, I feel like. Shake it off! I'm tired of it. I'm sick and tired of being stepped on. I'm tired of the devil dumping on me, thinking, I'm burying him. I'm burying him. He's over. He's done with. Preacher Rackley will go down as a quitter, and he'll go down as one that has fallen. But by the grace of God, oh, I feel a touch from another world this morning. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I feel a touch. That's enabling me this morning, Brother Scott, to shake it off and step up and to get up. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Don't be envious of that crowd. Don't be jealous of that crowd. How many of you in here, don't raise your hand, but I wonder how many in here, if you'd be honest with yourself, you're envious of the wicked. Keep in mind, Verse 1, he's talking to saved people. He's talking to righteous people. Don't be envious of evildoers. Don't be envious of them wicked, that wicked crowd. The word envious means don't be jealous. Don't be jealous. And usually when you're jealous, you're wanting something somebody else has got. Envy. I envy. I envy what you got. I envy who you are. And when God's people, largely in our churches, are being controlled by this envy that's in verse 1. How do I know? It's because millions of dollars are being spent on a yearly basis of you trying to be like wicked people. Brother Fultz, help me with something. Why would a born again child of God want to envy wicked people? And to the point, listen, to the point of wanting to be like them. But Jason, I don't have a problem with that right there. I don't. I'm not tempted in the least of being envious of wicked people. I don't try to dress like them. I'm not interested in wearing their name brands to support their wickedness. I'm certainly not going to go buy their trashy garbage music. Are you listening? Hello? Isn't that something? I certainly am not going to go watch their wicked movies. I'm not going to buy their what do you call it? Their line of things. I'm not interested in that. I'm not envious of that crowd.
Right.
They're not going to cause me to want to dress like them. No. But people in church are. The church, listen, I'm going to get real plain right here. The world in the realm of modesty, well, they don't even know what that is. They're saying pretty much, take your clothes off or almost off. And there's always a connection in the Bible of skin and sin. If you're in this thing of I'm showing a lot of flesh, that's because you're living after the flesh and you're living for the flesh. And let me say this clear as a bell. You didn't get that from the Bible. Amen. Amen. I'm going to preach against that immodesty till the last breath leaves my body. Oh, but preacher, this is the day in which we're living in. It's a thing of nudity and immodesty and showing flesh and thighs and legs and everything. I like what Brother Willis preached right here in this pulpit. Brother Alfred Willis, he's from St. Stephen, South Carolina. He's a little white man about this big, but he talks just like a black man. He said in this pulpit, he said, I'm so sick and tired of seeing breasts and thighs and legs and backs. He said, if I want to see that, I'll go to Kentucky Fried Chicken. That's right. That's right. You said, preach, you out of line. No. Neither be envious. They go half naked and you do that, they're influencing you. They're influencing you. Amen. That's right. Oh, I'd love if it wasn't for me being too brassy, I'd like to tell people, do you realize how skanky you look? I mean, don't have enough clothes on to clothe a baby robin. And they think they look good. Though they look trashy. They look skanky. I don't know what skanky means, but it sounds like it fits. Amen. Amen. Can I say this? I don't want to see your anatomy. I want to see your spirituality. I want to see your godliness. I want to see you adapting to Jesus. He is our pattern. I want to see you lining up with Him and trying to look like Him and trying to act like Him and do as He would do. Quit being envious of this wicked crowd and letting them influence you. Am I coming through loud and clear? Amen. And a lot of that, most of that, a lot of that falls on the parents. Buying it for them. Amen. That's right. Have some stuff, but they won't like me, preacher. I'm talking about the mom and daddy acting like that. But they won't like me, preacher. They'll talk about me. They won't let me be their buddy. Parents are not supposed to be pals. Parents are not supposed to be buddies. You're supposed to be the example. And you're supposed to say, oh, I'm not cussing here. No. I know a lot of kids think that's a curse word. Tell them, no, you're not wearing that. No, you're not listening to that. No, you're not going to date that person. No, you're not going to run with that crowd. Oh, but I'll warp their personality, preacher. I'll warp their personality. And they'll be a misfit. And they won't fit in with that wild bunch at school. Exactly. Exactly. Hey, well, I better get off that. I don't have a problem with that. Write it down. Preacher Ackley is not envious. I have a problem with that first one. Fretting, vexing, being grieved, aggravated, agitated, irritated. And if I'm not careful, it'll affect my attitude. Amen. I wrote this down. Some focus on the wicked but with fretting, while others focus on the wicked with envy. Amen. The danger of fretting and being envious of wicked people is that envy and that jealousy and that vexation and that grievance will cause you to be like them. It'll cause them to control you. Let me ask you something before we close. Who's controlling your life? Let me ask you that. I mean, that's a good question. Who is controlling your life? Who's controlling what music you listen to? Everybody listen. I'm still preaching. We'll pray in a minute. We'll have an altar call in a minute. I want to ask you, who controls you? Who is influencing you about what music you're listening to? If I were to get your iPhone or whatever kind of phone you got or whatever kind of electronic device, listen to your car radio. Go in your bedroom with permission and turn, just randomly turn your radio on or turn the CD player on. I wonder what I would hear. And if it's not godly, Christ-honoring, can I ask you an elementary question? Who is influencing, controlling you to listen to that? Is it church? Is it God's people? Is it the Bible? Is it the Holy Spirit? You're envious. Envious. Boy, preacher, everybody else doing it. Everybody jumps off a bridge, you going to jump? Everybody drinks a whole bottle of strychnine, you going to drink it? Don't give me that. Don't give me that. I've crossed over a few bridges. Don't give me that. That's no excuse. Well, everybody else is listening to that trashy garbage. Everybody else is going half naked. Don't give me that. Bottom line, straight from the preacher's mouth, you're doing it because you like it and you're wanting to identify yourself with that wicked crowd. But then here's the thing of it. That same crowd that'll live their whole life, Brother John, under the pattern and the mold of this world. And we're told in Romans 12, be not conformed to this world. You know what? Then that crowd that lives their whole life trying to be like the world, they want to go to heaven when they die. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven. I ain't living for God, but I'm going to heaven. Here it is in the Greek. Your salvation hadn't changed your life. It has not changed your destiny. Let me give you a verse of scripture for you to chew on or maybe even choke on. Without holiness, no man shall see God. That doesn't mean that I'm going to heaven because of holiness. But Miss June, holiness makes it evident that my life has been changed. My heart's been changed. My desire's been changed. And I've been born again. And I have a desire for holiness. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious. Don't be vexed. Don't be grieved. God, I need to hear that one. That's the one I have a problem with. But some of you having a problem with neither be envious. You envy. Can I give you something to think about? And I'm right now done. Why? Miss Sarah, why would I look at a person that is living their life contrary to that Bible in your lap, contrary to the preaching that we hear here, contrary to the very pattern of the Lord Jesus? Why would I look at that person with envy and jealousy? Boy, I'd like to have their attitude. Or I'd like to have their status. I'd like to have their popularity. Have you ever seen the Hollywood crowd without the 2 inches of makeup? I thought, unto God, how in the world did they ever get on the stage? They're miserable. They go from mate to mate to mate to mate. They make millions, millions, millions of dollars, Brother John, and it's a report, regular report of them filing bankruptcy. Isn't that something? People that's won the lottery, millions of dollars, in like 6 or 7 years, they're filing for bankruptcy. Hello? I'm not going to call the name of this person, but probably one of the most popular individuals that ever put foot on American soil and probably done as much to corrupt this country as anybody besides the Beatles. Right. I know that you probably jumped off right there, but he told a reporter, I would give, and I'm talking about a man that was worth not millions, billions. He said, I would give everything I ever had, everything that I ever will have, if I had 24 hours of peace. Oh yeah. If I told you his name, you'd be envious. Oh man, I'd like to have his popularity. Man, I'd like to have his mansion. I'd like to have his Cadillacs. I'd like to have his reputation. I'd like to have, but hey, what was it doing for him? What was it doing for him? I just read about him this week. Yeah. Couldn't get enough pills in him to cope with life. And overdosed and died. And I'm not saying where he's at because I don't know. But I will say this. I wouldn't want to face death with his life. I'm not envious of that crowd. Miss Morgan, if you're taking notes, write it down. Preacher Rackley would not step out of the pulpit to swap places for any of them or all of them. I'm not envious of that crowd. Let's all stand to our feet. Miss Paul Sue, you come.